We should begin. All right, here we go. So the somewhat off topic, but it's there. The Gemara is on the page that it tells the story that we had in Maseches Yevamos. The same Gemara appeared there about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi about their machlokas about. About machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda about whether a guy who shows up to pick up his truma, so does that automatically mean that we should be assuming that he is a kohen, right? So either meaning that we can actually judge yichus based on the person showing up. So the Gemara there had this line, right? It says, "Amar Be'elazar, Rabbi Yossi, miyamei lo yidasi," that I never used to give edus ever. I just never testified. So pamachas I dasi was the one time I did. V'halu eved l'kahuna alpi, and a eved was raised to become a kohen based on my testimony. So halu sachadai. The Gemara says, really? They actually became. They actually did that. So hashdu ma behimas and shal tzadikim in a kodesh baruch hu maybe takala yadam, that in animals of tzadikim, so Hashem does not bring problems for them. So tzadikim atim l'kol shekein. So certainly, if the person is a tzadik, so nothing should you shouldn't be wrong. So ela bikshu lahalus eved l'kahuna alpi. Rather, they wanted to make an eved have an eved become a kohen based on my testimony. But chazav asid Rabbi Yosi va'azav asid basid Rabbi Yehuda. Right? How did that happen? Because I testified that this person went to go pick up truma in the place of Rabbi Yosi, where they did not take a official. Kohen identification card in order to give out the truma, and I went and I testified in the place of Rabbi Yehuda that this guy was claiming to be this guy went to pick up truma in the place of Rabbi Yossi, and therefore in Rabbi Yehuda's place he said, oh well, if that's the case, then it must be that he's a kohen. So therefore they're almost made to turn this eved into a kohen based on my testimony. Fine. That's the Gemara. So Tosos on the side of the page here, it has like a four words, where he says, Rabbi Tam was not goresis. Rabbi Tam did not assume that this thing about the behema, that Hashem doesn't bring to Kala because of the, even to the animals of the tzaddikim, that's not actually supposed to be in this Gemara. Tosso says, no, that's not here. Rabbeinu Tam took it out. So where did he see that? And see Maseches Gittin, right? So, alright, so.
Here it just says in the first Bamagamacha. It doesn't even say. Oh. It doesn't, but whatever.
Oh, okay, fine.
I believe
it. Well, then Tosso doesn't get incessant.
Yeah.
So, first of all, so what does the Gemara here tell us in Maseches Gittin? What is that referring to? So, Ikli Lahu Ashbi. So, the Gemara there tells a story about Pinchas Ben Yair. Pinchas Ben Yair is a whole, it's actually at the end of a couple of other examples where in the Gemara over there that the Gemara gives about that Hashem makes sure that people are not actually violating Isurim. And the Gemara ultimately tells a story about Pinchas Ben Yair, who was in the middle of being doing Pidyon Shulin or something. He was traveling around, and the Gemara comments that Ikla Hu Shpitza, that he came to this inn. So Ramule Share Lefamre Lo Achal. So they brought barley, they brought food for his donkey to eat, and he didn't eat. So Chaftinu Lo Achal, Nakrinu Lo Achal, they made it better for him or something, and he still refused. The donkey still refused to eat this barley. So Amrul Hu. So he says to them, Nu Dilma Lo Maasrin, maybe didn't have Meister taken off from it. So Asrinu va'achal. So they took off Meiser and they ate it. So Amar, Ani yazu holechas lasos ratzon kona v'atam alchen asot tevalim. He said to him, what are you doing? Right, this donkey is in the midst of running after, going to do mitzvahs, and you're giving it tevel? So mi mechayva, but wait a second, is it really chayven? And v'hatanan, halkeach lezerum labehema v'kemach l'oros v'shem l'ner v'shem l'sokbo sakelim pater mihatamai. He says, but wait a second, why was this grain chayven in Meiser in the first place? It's animal food, and there's a Mishnah Maseches Demai that says that if you purchase animal food for the purpose of feeding it to an animal, so then it is putter from being mafresh Demai for that. And so the Gemara says, well, Hassan, I left off the rest of the Gemara, but the Gemara responds by saying, yeah, well, that food was purchased, wasn't purchased for the animal, it was purchased to be human food, and then the guy decided to give it to the animal, so therefore that's why it's chayiv in Demai. But what's the point of that Gemara, and that Gemara that keeps getting invoked many other places in Shas? Because we see from this Gemara that an animal is attempting to, that Hashem looks after the animals, right? And this donkey therefore refused to eat this demai, that's the implication for the Gemara, this demai, which was chayav in Meiser. So that's why this pops up in other places. So yeah, Shem looks after, makes sure that the animals don't violate any Isurim. Certainly Tzadikim are not going to violate any Isurim. I'll give my own invocation of this Gemara. Some may recall in 2002 or so was the great water crisis in New York City. Anybody remember this?
The bugs,
like before your time. The bugs yeah. In the water, the kolkopans in the water. I remember when I found out about it, I was actually at this luncheon. I was actually sitting next to Rav Schechter at a luncheon. That's a different whole long story. And he said, "Yeah, I was at the OU offices yesterday, and they told me that they're finding bugs in the water." Yeah, that's going to be a problem. Something like, what? Like, yeah, that means we're not going to be able to drink any of the water in New York City anymore. Excuse me? And then, lo and behold, within a couple of days, right, so these things will start coming off. So I remember when I was in Yeshiva, Rabbi Lach, I believe, came to Sikh, the author of the Chulin Illuminated. I think he was learning, he was like in Kolon Torah Das or something. And he actually brought samples. He showed how these bugs are there. And part of the presentation was that these bugs are not just like floating around. They actually have like weight to them. They actually, like he showed that they don't just sit on the top. They actually float. They actually, go down towards the bottom, because they actually are relatively heavy as far as bugs are concerned. So therefore he explained that it's not that it's just showing up in all the water, because it doesn't just go anywhere the water goes, it actually only goes some places the water goes. It only goes to certain apartments and not others. Now, how do you cheshbon out where it goes and where it doesn't go? That's hard to, you can't figure it out, but you could potentially test your house and you're not gonna have any, because these bugs aren't going to make it to your house. We're assessing the Kolkopod controversy of 2002. So as part of his presentation, he said, like, you know, people have asked, well, how could it be? Rav Moshe Feinstein lives in New York City, and he drank the water from the tap, and we have, you know, plenty of people who are willing to testify that Rav Moshe Feinstein drank the tap water in New York City. So do you mean to tell me that Rav Moshe drank bugs? Well, no, not, like, doesn't Hashem look after the gedolim to make sure that they don't violate any service? He says, well, yeah, unless you could give me testimony that you saw a bug in his water and he drank that water, right? You can't claim that, because Hashem is just going to make sure that he lived in an apartment where there were no, that where the copepods didn't necessarily come. That's the extent of the word. You mean, you can't bring a raya from that unless there are certain circumstances.
Similarly, you could have just said that any case that we're talking about that's denied, it's just a suffix.
Hold on.
I only said it
because
I assume no one says that, so that's
okay.
So I'm sorry.
Hold on. So the Gemara. So how is this understood? The halacha. I mean, there's an initial Gemara that I was wondering as soon as we saw it in Yevamos that we learned that actually stated that all mamzerim die out after a couple of generations. Mm-hmm. I was only like, is there any nachkamina to that? we say like. Like, oh, well, if the guys are still around 5 generations later, do we say, oh, well, that's suffix about your grandparents. Maybe that's Mavar the suffix. I couldn't figure out. I didn't see anybody, like, discuss that halacha. I didn't really see anybody discuss this halacha. But anyways, that is the, so when does this get invoked and when doesn't? So Tosfos in Maseches Gittin, which is another Gemara where this comes up, and a couple of other places, it says, see Tosfos Maseches Gittin. So Rabbeinu Tam there says the lo parach el gabe. Rabbeinu Tam comments on this Gemara, the lo parach el gabe midi de achila. That when does this issue come up? This issue only comes up with food. Meaning it's not with any isurim. It's just with food isurim. That's the only time that you're going to see this comment. It always has to do with food. The gnai hu letzadik sheochel davar iser. That it's a gnai for the tzadik that he would eat something that's us. So lo hachi lo parach, and therefore we don't have it in the Mara Maseches Shabbos about Rabbi Shmuel. There he tips the. He tipped the oil lamp in order to on Shabbos, or Gemara says either he did it or he almost did it or something. So that's one Gemara. Another Gemara about Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai Shaharag Eid Zomim, that he actually killed an Eid Zomim by mistake. Meaning you're only allowed to kill an Eid Zomim if you're going to kill both of the Eid Zomim. He only killed one of the Eid Zomim, so you see that he made a mistake. And the Gemara describes how he went and asked Mechila all the time from the kever of this person. And then what about Maseches Su? Which doesn't have to do with food, even though it does have to do with food, but it doesn't have to do with food. So there, the halu eved l'kahuna apiv lo garis le rabbi inutim. Oh, that Gemara about bringing the kahuna, about raising about establishing this guy as a Kohen based on the person's testimony. Oh, that Rabbeinu Tam took it out. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's that wasn't supposed to be mentioned in that Gemara. And even though there is food in that Gemara, meaning it does have to do with Achilas Truma, right, that he's going to feed his wife, he's going to feed his kids, Shahein Asurim Betruma, Mikomakom, no. It's not about that someone's going to violate an isser of food. Rather, it's, no, the Chacham himself is not going to eat the food. I mean, that's the problem. The problem is not that it's about the apostle Hatera for others. The issue is that it can't be that the Chacham himself is going to be Nitsha. And in this case, right, it's not about him eating the Truma, it's about he's asking someone else is going to eat the Truma. And therefore, that's not relevant to here. I believe the Ritva on this Gemara comments that, he actually is not bothered by this. He's saying the Gersa could be, and his skill could only have to do with food based on that Svar. But, okay, either way. So, Ainsar Lah, and then he has a couple of other examples. What about Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, that he made a mistake in Maseches Pesachim, and he tasted before Havdal, he had a little bit of food, and then he realized, I hadn't made Havdal yet. And even though that's a dangerous thing, because you get Askara if you eat before Havdalah, and Rosh Hashanah also, it talks about a whole city in Bavel that fasted on the wrong day of Yom Kippur. The guy showed up, the Amorite shows up, was like, what are you guys doing eating today? Today's Yom Kippur. And they didn't realize, they had Yom Kippur the day before. So, what about in those cases where they seem to have violated Isurim having to do with food? And what responds by saying, Tosos responds by saying, oh, no, that's not so bad. It's only an Isser that has we'll just put in the language here, of an Isser Chetza, not an Isser Gavra. The Isser Chetza, meaning the food can't be eaten because there's something wrong with the food, that's when it's like a problem for the Gadol, right? What was the language, right? Gavi Midachi, the Gnai Hu Litzadik. That's when it's a Gnai for a Tzadik. But in the absence of, if it's only like a timed food issue, meaning you can't eat before Avdallah or you can't eat on Yom Kippurim, but it's not an issue with the actual food itself, so that's also not going to be a Gnai. So that's a pretty big limitation that here was presented by Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah, this all has to do with, food, not a, and only food when there's a problem, or there's a problem with the etzem food itself. Where would this come from, that there's only that food somehow is like a worse thing, where that's going to be some kind of gnai? So Yitachin, I'm not sure, I didn't see this extension made, but Yitachin, that's probably based on the Tumtum Halev issue, meaning that somebody who eats something that is fully usser, so that causes some kind of Tumtum Halev. That causes some whatever that it is that means, and that's and that's a concern. That's based on this Gemara Maseches Yuma, where it talks about Timtum Halev. Truth is, the Gemara itself doesn't associate with food. It only says if you sin, it causes Timtum Halev. But the pasuk that it quotes is in the context of food. It's in the context of eating shrotzim, and that's the way most Rishonim.
Also, you can say even by food, it's even if you do it unintentionally.
Right.
As opposed to by regular avera, maybe only if you do intentional.
Oh, okay, right. Very good. The food might be a problem even unintentional as opposed to intentional. Now, that's actually the Ramban's approach to this entire thing. The Ramban's approach to this entire thing is, no. When does Hashem protect the tzaddik? When it's unintentional, when he can't do anything about it, when he makes an honest mistake. As opposed to the examples that the Gemara gives where you actually see Amorayim making a mistake or doing some kind of avera. When is that? That's specifically when they did something wrong. I mean, Rabbi Yishmael, the context of that Gemara is that the made a takana against using oil lamps on Shabbos because you might forget yourself and look tilt the lamp over. And Rabbi Yishmael says, then I'll be okay. I'm not going to forget. And then the Gemara comments, oh, you see that he forgot. So that is I'm not sure the example of how the Arvei Pesachim thing, remember the entire context of that Gemara. There's a Gemara about tearing a Sefer Torah, which was in Yavamos also, right? So he said that's what they got angry. So they got angry. They sinned by getting angry, and therefore a Sefer Torah got torn up afterwards. So that's the Rabbah. It has not having to do specifically with food. It has to do with whether there was actually an Aveira that was done. It actually quotes a Medrash here in Bereishis about Demai, about Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Zeira, that they one of them sent Demai to the other one. Rabbi Yirmiya sent Demai to Rabbi Zeira, even though he should have separated the Demai. He said, "Oh, come on, Rabbi Zeira is such a such a tzaddik, he's not going to trust my hafrasha anyways. He's going to assume that it's the mine. So he'll separate it, and therefore, why should I bother separating any? Because he'll go ahead and separate it. Rabbi Ziri gets this gift from Rabbi Yirmiya, and he says, oh, look at that, I got a gift from Rabbi Yirmiya. Obviously, I'm sure he separated the maestros before I ate it, so why should I bother? And he went ahead and he ate it. That's what the Gemara, that's what the Medrash comments that Rabbi, that the Ramban is referring to. So, and then they met each other. He says, oh, did you enjoy the salad I sent? He said, yeah, thank you so much. I assume you separated maestros from it. And he was like, what? I didn't. I thought you were going to do it. And they ended up it ended up being that Rabbi Zeira ended up eating, meaning that he ate the mai. So the Ramban says, aha, you see, that medrash is a raya for me. Because he sees that he ate food. You eat machalos that are inherent, that is a problem. Inherently a problem. And the reason, so therefore, that's against her being tam, but according to me, it makes sense because he made a mistake. He should have been mafresh the tamai. What was he doing? Assuming someone else was mafresh the tamai, the luck is that he was supposed to.
In other words, not a food issue, it's because of the
right. Animal. Right, that's the Ramban's, raya now.
Like you said before also, like with the kas, it's not,
right? Right. Right. So that's the Ramban. That's how he concludes. Fine. So there is a sefer Dvar Shmuel and Maseches Pesachim, which is like this big fat sefer, which covers all sorts of things. So on that Tosus said, oh, maybe I could get Pesach share out of this as well. So, oh, what's the context of that in Maseches Pesachim? So I opened it up, and he just had this one line here, which then got me sort of thinking on, well, like sort of going someplace else. What pop them here? Like keep my eye.
Yeah.
So there he makes the comment. He says, "Ve'in l'tareitz, don't answer," like Levi Okin said, right? That it's an issur d'rabbanan. He says, "No, that's not the issue here. Why? Shari chamoru d'Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair havi b'dmai k'demuchach sham." Because you see that Pinchas ben Yair's donkey, right? That specifically was about d'mai. D'mai is an issur d'rabbanan. It is a whole din d'rabbanan thing. Right, so therefore, don't assume that we're not going to distinguish between derises and derabanans. This is either way. If it's a food issue, even if it's an issue derabanan, that's going to be a problem. Vilchaora, kasaver terutzam. Now he says, now also these answers that the dafka b'iser chetza amrinu came, that this is specifically by an iser chetza. Vilo kishah gavra over iser, as opposed to the gavra violating an iser. Umizem muchach. Right, v'gam iser derabanan kidmai, and this would even apply to an iser derabanan, meaning it's iser chetza on the food, even when it's demai. Havi iser chetza v'dolo kanesivus simin reish lamadal, as opposed to the nesivus reish lamadal. So who knows the famous nesivus and reish lamadal? Ah, good. Somebody. All right. So what's the famous Nesivus in Reish Lamadal? So you put it here, next door. So the Nesivus here is very, very prominent because it has many, many applications. The Gemara there is discussing if somebody, not the Gemara, it's the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch there is discussing that if a buyer sells somebody food, it turns out that food was treif. And then the person went ahead and ate it, and the person went ahead and ate it. Now it was treif, this comment that the Nesivus is making is on the Shulchan Aruch's example of, let's say he sold them something that was asur derabanan, and the person went ahead and ate it. So Shulchan Aruch paskins that he's not allowed to go and ask for his money back. Meaning, if it was an asur deraisa, so then he's allowed to go and ask for his money back, even if he ate it, because the Nesivus explains, because then he's subject to being able to get that he needs to get a kapara. But if it's only an iser derabanan, so then he's not allowed to go and ask for his money back. Or he could ask, but he's not going to get any money back. He's not going to be entitled to any money back because he only violated an iser derabanan, and he only violated iser derabanan b'shogeg. And some comes in the Nesivus and says, ah, so therefore what do you see? That if you only violate an iser derabanan b'shogeg, there's no need to do kapara for that. There's no need to gain atonement. Why? He says, so truth is a very strong svara. He says, because what's the iser if you violate an iser derabanan, right? If you eat bishul akum, right? So what have you violated by violating bishul akum, right? What mitzvah? So immediately say, well, I don't know, it's a kashrus issue. It's like violating a kashrus thing. So the Nesivos would say, wrong, right? You did not violate a kashrus issue. You violated the iser of lo sasur. You're violating the Isser of not listening to the Rabbanon. That's the Isser. If you violate any Rabbanon across the board, the truth is that's probably subject to a Machlokas Rishon, but the Rambam and Ramban. But the Nesida says, no, if you violate any Isser Rabbanon, you've only violated Lo Sasor, and Lo Sasor, by definition, has to be done b'mezid. You can't not listen... You can't not listen to the Rabbanim b'shogeg, right? That doesn't make sense, right? If you violated something b'shogeg, you were listening to the Rabbanim. You were caught by making a mistake, but you couldn't, you can't violate Lo Sasor b'shogeg. So therefore comes the Nesivos and says, based on the actual Kamar HaKisi, that you never violate that all Dini Derabbanims are you can't violate b'shogeg. That's actually one of the big svaros.
Averis need kavana, I'm saying?
No. Averis de rabbanon require kavana, that I'm not listening to the rabbanon. Right? But the lo sasser can't be done.
You can't say I'm not listening to the
isser isn't eating bishal akum. The isser, right? The isser is, I didn't not listening to the rabbanon. So if it's b'shogeg, you can't, there's no isser there.
I think they say there's no merida. There's no merida if you
Even the right thing is shogeg.
Right.
By definition.
Right.
I don't know if he says those words, but I think that's how they say it.
Yes.
That answer, of course, was there. When he ate his mind, that he was, you know, the fact that he thought what gave it to him was, what Yirmiyahu was the one who checked it.
Right, so the Dvar Shmuel is saying, you see, this is going against that Nesivos. Now, the truth is, you can make the case to say, no, oh, wait a second. Part of the Din D'Rabbanan is to make sure to take off the Mai, even if the guy sending it to you is doing it, right? So he did violate a D'Rabbanan. So you could get, but anyways, Nesivos is, it's a very compelling svaros. This is one of the big svaros as to why not to announce that an Erev is down on Shabbos, right? Because everybody assumes the Erev is up, and therefore they're only violating the carrying on Shabbos in the, where there is one of our community Erevs is only Aser Derabanan. That's the assumption. There are ways to bump it up to the Doraisa, but assuming that that's all Derabanan, so therefore people are only violating carrying on Shabbos Derabanan, the Shogeg. So there's no iser, right? So therefore, that, and they don't have to get a kapara for that. So that's as far to say that maybe one that you wouldn't announce that the Erev is down on Shabbos. Fine. So, but again, the Dvar Shmuel is saying this is a raya against that. Okay. Rather, and you see the Kovetz Shiurim and the Tanya both disagree and say that no, you see that even Machalas Asurs with Divrei Sofrim, there is an iser chefza based on that. So I dug out my Tanya here. There was a little while that I had a Chavrusa with Rabbi Gerber in town on learning Tanya, so I came and bought this with Perushim. And there in the end, this is volume one of like 4, but this covers Perek Ches, where in Perek Ches, this is quoted, where he says that you see by Machalos Asuros, there's, even if you ate Machalos Asuros, having in mind that I'm doing L'shem Shemayim in order to do Avodas Hashem, etc., it's still going to lead to all sorts of, problems. And the Tanya adds in Vafilu hu iser derabanan shachamurim divrei sofrim yosim divrei torah. Even isuri derabanan, this is going to be applicable to that. He did it with the right kavana, but it turned out that it was an iser derabanan. You're still going to get in trouble. The klipos are going to come and get you, and it's all sorts, and that's a really bad thing to do. Now in the footnotes it says, you see, this is going against that nesivos. He quotes that nesivos and says it against that, and he even adds in a footnote here where he says that there's a mice that happened with Admor HaZaken, which I assume is the Baal HaTanya, right? So Pamba Alav Echad Im Chaso, a guy came with his son-in-law, Shahaya Lamdan Gadol, he was a big Lamdan, Beitonin Shepitom Niflu L'Chasen Sveikus B'Emunah V'Chasen Atzmin Star B'Zeh. And all of a sudden he started having doubts of Emunah, and the Chasen himself was Mitzar from this. So Anu Rabbeinu Shesevas HaDavra, I know why this is happening to you, L'Vishen Nichshal B'Lo Yodim B'Chalav Akum. He says, but you realize that you didn't realize it, but apparently you drank Chalav Akum. Right, you drink non-chalav Yisrael milk, which is an iser derabanan, and yet he said, and below yodim without realizing it. So you see that the problems caused by food coming and getting inside somebody, that's even going to apply by iser derabanan in the opinion of the Tanya. And you see as well the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, so Rav Elchanan points out. Truth is, he quotes first in the. The Pirish on Gittin, he points out this svara. He says that He says that, how do you know that this applies even to Yisuri Durabanan? Because that's the case of the donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair. Right? The donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair refused to eat the mai. Right? So you see that this whole thing is still applicable when it comes to the mai. And therefore, in the Kintras Divrei Sofrim, he goes and explains. And he says that, you see, this is against the Nesivos. And you see that there is even considered to be an Isser Chefza when it comes to Dinei Durabanan. Okay, so that is the... So when it comes to this far, that Hashem makes sure, so we have limited it, but Rabbi Tam says it only applies to food, okay, either approach that you take, but this idea that it's even going to only apply to food, so that that would still apply to Dinei Durabanan, it seems, from these approaches in the Gemara. Now, what about the flip side of this? Meaning, if it's an Issur Durabanan, so it's still going to be a problem. What about if it is potentially going to be an Isser? What if it is mutter despite the fact that it potentially be even an Isser d'oraisa? Right. So that is what Levi pointed out right away in the beginning. He says, well, maybe. What if it's mutter for you to eat, but it turns out that it could potentially be really an Isser d'oraisa? So for instance, a taruvus or Levi pointed out, he said, well, wait a second, if we're going to say that Hashem looks after the animals of the tzaddikim, so why didn't we say, well, the animal of Pinchas Ben Yair? I mean, the Gemara is giving answers a couple of times, I think, of course, that Gemara gives answers to that. He says, well, it could have been this, it could have been that, right? It gives certain umdanas. The Gemara never says, well, maybe Hashem made sure that the food that was being eaten by the animal of Pinchas Ben Yair was kosher. Was not tevel. I mean, Hashem could have ensured that it was a non-tevel issue. Right? The Gemara never seems to entertain that and say, oh well, Hashem made sure that it would that those things would have been that are mutter for that in that context. Right, even though the food in general is going to mean so like with bugs in food. So a person ate a salad that wasn't checked for bugs before. So well, Hashem could ensure and make sure that bugs are not in that person's food, etc. Right? We don't see that idea is that idea ever comes into play.
Therefore, what?
So therefore, I think that that opens a large hole in the issue of Timtum Halev. I mean, if you listen to Headlines podcasts when he talks about kashrus issues and things like that, right? So he gets it. He says, "Yeah, you see, if the bug is not checked appropriately, you get 60 surim for every bug that you eat." Right? All these kinds of things, right? So we've given bug checking classes in this very room, right? And the whole chap is to get it to a miyachinu matzah, right? Miyachinu matzah is less than 10%, whatever it is that means. Or when it comes to trefos and animals, a more classic example and easier to understand, right? So we check all trefos that have a trefos rate of above 10%, meaning what? Meaning there are other animals that are trefos which you're not checking for, right? And so therefore food is certainly getting into the system that comes from these animals. So do we say, well, that's causing Timtum Halev, right? It's going to cause all these sorts of problems. So we don't see that. That never gets invoked. So the truth is, I'll go down a little bit, and then I'll show an interesting raya for it that I found. So Rav Eitam Henkin was, you may recall a couple of years ago, he was killed with his wife on Sukkot a couple of years ago, like five, six, maybe more than that already. He's Rav Henkin's great-grandson, I think. So he was in Eretz Yisrael. His father, his parents were Rebbe Tzimchana Henkin, and his father is, I forget his name, well, passed away recently, the Shail Sechuvus B'nei Banim. B'nei Banim, because he's the grandson of Rebbe Leo Henkin from before. So he coordinated, I mean, when they came out with the Chuvus of Rav Henkin, when they published Rav Henkin's Chuvus with Rabbi Kleinman published Henkin's Shuvos, so two of them like worked together to put out there's a biography there and all sorts of things. I mean, whatever. So after he passed away, they opened up his computers and realized like this guy's like a massive publisher. He was like massive, like big with a lot of articles that he had not yet published and things like that. But he was going to come on the scene as like a serious Talmud Chacham, as well as somebody that also had some background in scholarly things. And they published recently from Koren, they published like a sefer on this, on things that they sort of found that he had written, all sorts of very, very interesting topics. So the first article in that sefer is online, so you can catch it. Like, on the Koran website, you want to see a sample, so the first article on that thing is about like sort of a history of checking for bugs. So in the very last footnote of that article, so he makes the following ha'ara. He says, this whole discussion here, we never brought up the issue of Timtum Aleif. Right? If the whole thing is trying to build chazakos and trying to build off of roads, that there's only a 5% chance that it's going to be a problem, therefore we're going to say that you can eat the food. So why aren't we concerned that if you have a bug, that if you eat one bug, that's going to cause Timtum Aleif, it's going to cause all these bad issues, right? Shouldn't we have that concern? And he suggests that he says that if you look around, he says you never see Timtum Aleif being discussed when food is being eaten beheter, meaning not beheter, that the food has been ruled to be mutter. You don't see that discussion ever be invoked. That you see, virtually all rabbinic responses from past eras, from the greatest Rishonim and Achronim who dealt with practical questions of magnet infestation, I have not found a single instance where Timtum Halev is invoked as reason to be machmir above the letter of the law. Rather, they speak only with halachic parameters. It is apparent that their silence about this indicates simply that there is something where something is halachically mutter, we are not concerned with Timtum Halev. Right, the Timtum Halev, and that's the Gemara Maseches Yuma. He says, our subject is no different from other laws governing mixtures, and we do not find in Shulchan Aruch or in other commentaries that if something is mutter, if something is batel, that we say, oh, well, we're going to be machmir and not eat it because we're concerned of Timtum Aleif. That never comes up. When does Timtum Aleif come up? So it comes up when you're eating something b'duchuyah, like you have to eat, I have an example here on the side that I quoted from Shulchan Aruch, that it invokes Timtum Aleif when it comes to having a child nurse from a non-Jewish woman. This is because that's like something that is being done b'duchuyah. Or if you eat nevela on Shabbos, or somebody shown by the machlokas, if somebody is told you need to eat meat and it's Shabbos and there's no kosher meat around, so there's machlokas, do you violate Shabbos by doing shechita, or do you allow the person to eat nevela?
Why is that different?
It's right, so it's not. That's considered d'chuyah. That's considered meaning
it's d'chuyah as opposed to hud.
Right, that it's not mutter, it's an isser that you're violating because it's mutter to violate an isser. That's a bigger, that's why in Shabbos we limitly, even if it's bikuach nefesh, you try to limit all the whatever we try to do isser, because it's not mutter, it's not putra, it's not completely mutter, Shabbos still exists, we just have permission to violate Shabbos for these purposes. So apparently that's their discussion that is made. So where is
I haven't seen it recently, but I'm almost positive Aruch Haim Kodesh disagrees with this. He says that even if you permit it to eat, there is still Timtum Aleif. If it's turned out to found out afterwards that there was.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, he said virtually. So he reserves the right to allow for an Aruch Haim.
It's on Zoom virtually.
Okay, so I have the so one raya that I came up with this idea was towards the end of Maseches Yevamos, that that there was a Mishnah there that commented that a Isha Shahalcha Hiu Bailu, going up a little bit, Isha Shahalcha Hiu Bailu Medina Sayyam. So a woman goes right with her husband to Medina Sayyam. Now she comes back and she says, my husband died, right? So she, based on her testimony, just herself, she's allowed to say, Tinasev Titl Ksuvasa. She's allowed to get married and collect her ksuva, but Sarasa Asura. However, the Gemara said, right, the Mishnah says, her Sara is not allowed to get married based on that. Why? Because we're concerned that she's coming and lying because she wants to mess over her Sara. Right? So the Sara is not allowed to get married based on the testimony of wife A. Wife B is not allowed to get married based on the testimony of wife A. Okay. Hi, Sabas Yisrael Cohen. What about if wife B happened to be a Bas Yisrael and husband, dead, allegedly dead husband, is a Kohen? So Tochal B'Truma Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. That she's allowed to continue eating Truma according to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Kiva says, well, no, that's not, you got to keep her away from Averus, and not a good idea. She's not allowed to go ahead and eat Truma. Now, we actually paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. Against Rabbi Akiva on this. The Gemara explicitly says that the halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon, that she's allowed to continue to eat Truma, and the Rambam, a couple of sources below, the Rambam seems to quote that. The Rambam says that it is, she's allowed to continue to eat Truma. Tosfos there questions whether that maybe that only means Truma d'oraisa or d'rabanan, but it doesn't throw out the issue that it might be Truma d'oraisa. I mean, Tosfos seems to assume that it certainly could be that we permit her to eat Truma d'oraisa, and the Rambam makes no distinction, and the Meforshim understand the Rambam as being, even Truma d'oraisa. In Shmaisa Zion, tracked down last night, Shmaisa Zion, he assumes that the Rambam is talking about true. And he raises this issue. He says, how could it possibly be that on one hand, wife number one is allowed to go ahead and get remarried, which is an Isser Doraisa potentially, if husband happens to be alive, and wife number B is allowed to eat Truma Doraisa, which is potentially an Isser Doraisa for her if husband happens to be dead. And Mamadashach, he's either alive or he's dead, right? So how could that possibly work out? So it seems that this isn't so well, because based on Chazakos, that's the way it works. The rule is that the wife A is allowed to get remarried because she comes and has evidence for that, and wife B is allowed to continue to eat truma because she has a chazaka on her side. Somebody is violating an Issur D'oraisa there, so we shrug our shoulders and say that's okay. Now, how could that possibly be? Especially truma is a Issur Achila, right? So even allowing an Issur Achila based on that, isn't that going to cause Timtum Alev potentially?
Only if tzaddikim are protected.
No, but it's still going to cause Timtum Alev. I mean, Timtum Alev is caused for everybody. I mean, tzaddikim, Hashem's going to make sure that they don't violate the...
That's my tevil also, not just like my chasurus, like trade for something.
Lechora, it should be. I mean, that was the Rabbeinu Tam would say so. But Rabbeinu Tam said that the donkey didn't eat demai because of that. So the donkey seems to at least Rabbeinu Tam seems to assume that it would apply in that particular way. So perhaps that so this is just I think a raya for Rav Henkin's hypothesis that this doesn't apply when something is actually beheter. Which gives a little bit of solace towards people who we rely on hashkachas all the time, and rely on these types of evidence all the time, and chazakos and robes, etc. What about when you get it wrong? So does it mean, well, Hashem makes sure that you never get it wrong? So that doesn't seem to be the case. We have certain rules to the way that we're supposed to live in this world. In Torah, nosdem l'malachei asharis, or through gedolei ador. I mean, it's given to us as well. How could we rely on, and we're trying to do the best that we can, how could we rely on the fact that, oh, well, I'm always in the majority? Eat a lot of meat from a lot of different animals, right? Presumably, percentages would say that you are in, you messed up at some point, that somehow that animal is a problem. So perhaps this indicates us, no, you don't have to worry that once you're, if you're within the realm of the Torah, following robes, chazakos, things that we rely on all the time, so you are considered to be in good shape, even if you don't happen to be Pinchas ben Yahir or his, potentially his donkey. Alright? So we'll, stop here.
Things might let it run. Things might let it run. Yeah, the shadow of something like that.